Hey, Robin, thank you for wearing...
Stand Tahoe? Up.
Show them your t-shirt. Turn around. Show them. Tahoe.
Lake Tahoe.
Lake Tahoe.
Lake Tahoe.
It's about 90 miles from where I live. Mm-hmm. Wow. Right up the mountains. It's lovely. If I go the other way, I go into San Francisco.
About 90 miles the other
way. So whenever you're out in California, stop by and see us, and we'd be happy to have you. How are you guys? I got to see you. Yeah.
How you doing? I need some more prayer.
Oh, well, we all do.
We all need some more prayer. It's true. It's like that bread. I love it. I'm so satisfied. I want some more. I do. Thank you, Jesus. It's a miracle.
There it is.
Yes. I do want to say this, though. It really is lovely to see so many familiar faces, and it's really lovely to see so many new, beautiful faces.
Yeah.
I just love what God does here. And we do travel around a bit, but I find that when we get to Harlow, we just feel home. This feels like home to us. So it's always special to come here.
You think?
I do.
Okay. All right. We have had a great week.
Yes.
We got to see Downton Abbey. One of my goals when I come to England is always try to see an English film while I'm in England. Folks, most of your films aren't very good. I have to be really honest with you. It's like, yeah, that's pretty naff. But Downton Abbey was really good, and I really liked it. And then we had an opportunity to go see Hamilton.
They say, what is Hamilton?
What is Hamilton? Hamilton is one of our founding fathers. And it's absolutely a great story of an orphaned man he was orphaned. He was in the Caribbean. A hurricane came. Some people got together, sent him to New York, and he actually became one of the founding fathers of the United States of America. The interesting thing is we got to see that in London. And it was really fun to see it with an English audience.
Yes.
We won. It was fun. Anyway, we want to talk a little bit about, we don't even have a title.
We have
this.
No title.
We have no title.
No.
So you have your Bibles? Mark 5.
Yeah.
Now the interesting thing about this particular scripture is that it starts with, so they arrived at the other side of the lake. The preface is that Jesus had just taught the multitudes a bunch of parables. They got in the boat. There was this incredible storm. Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. They come to him and say, don't you care about us? We're all going to die. Jesus stood up and go, oh, be quiet. And the wind stopped. The waves stopped. The storm went away. And they landed here. This is where the story picks up. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes.
Gerasenes.
Yeah, those guys. Oh, come on. Tell me you don't make up the names that you can't read in the Bible. One guy goes, no, I work on it. The rest of you are going, yeah, I make it up too. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out of the tombs to meet him. This man had lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, and I won't. Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had already said to the spirit, come out of this man, you evil spirit. Then Jesus demanded, what is your name? And he replied, my name is Legion, because there are many of us inside of this man. Then the evil spirits begged him again not to send them to a distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. Send us into those pigs, the spirits begged. Let us enter them. So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged into the deep, down the deep hillside into the lake and were drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what had happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go out with him. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he had told them.
This is the New Living Translation, and we had brought the NIV with us, and I was working on Mary's computer, and I thought, ooh, I wonder what the New Living Translation said. I just love reading things in a new translation. It just gives different light. I think probably most of you are fairly familiar with this account. Yes? Okay. Yeah. And so when we think about this account, usually what we think is, oh, yeah, well, that was the time that Jesus delivered the man that had the demons, yeah. And they ran into the pigs and they ran into the ocean, and that's just how he delivered that time. And I think we take a very abbreviated version of the overview of the story. But we felt like all scripture, this passage is so rich. There's so much more. Every time we read it, we can just grab more and more from the richness of the scripture. The first thing that I began to think about was what you started with, and that is back in verses 4:35 through 41, after Jesus taught the parables to the masses, they got in the boat for the other side. So Jesus said, let's go to the other side, and then the storm happens. They end up in Gerasenes. And I think the point with that is Jesus was heading this direction, then a storm happened, and we don't know if that's actually what he was setting out to go to. But we do know that by the time he calmed the sea and the boat ended up moving on, that's where he landed. Regardless if that was whether he intended to go or not. And from that, I think it is important for us to remember that sometimes our help is tied up in a storm. Sometimes the very thing that's going to bring healing or deliverance or breakthrough is tied up in a storm. And it doesn't mean it's not coming. It just means it's not there now. And I think Savelli said a beautiful point this morning is sometimes you've been carrying something for a long time and you think, when, Lord, when? When is the answer going to come? And sometimes the very help you need is in the storm that will bring them to the very place that you need. And if we understand the timings of God, we will look at storms completely differently. We will begin to embrace the full process that sometimes includes a storm. Now, the storm wasn't the end of the story. The storm is what directed and created the story. And so sometimes we can know that the storm is actually bringing the help. We can know that God uses the storms of life to bring you what you need. How often do we pray to be delivered from the storm? And yet, yeah. Mostly. Oh, Lord, take it away. And he's saying sometimes that very storm is the help you've prayed for. Right. Sometimes the very thing you're going through that doesn't feel good, it actually feels bad, is the prayer that you prayed. You know, when you make silly prayers like, God, teach me more faith.
More patience.
Give me patience.
I like the one patience.
Oh, that's a terrible prayer. You should never pray, give me more patience. Boy, the only way you learn it is if you have to walk through things you need patience for. Be careful what you pray. But in that, Sometimes it is the storms of life that bring the very thing we've been praying for. We just didn't think it would look like that. Let's keep our eyes open to the good things that God is doing, even if it looks like a storm now and again. And I think within that, it's really important to trust His timing. His timing is perfect. How many of you have had something you're really, really contending for? Maybe you were going to purchase a home, or you were going to get that job, or you were going to make the move, and it just, everything fell apart. And then in the end, you ended up in a better place than you would have if the first thing, I mean, really, I want to see your hands. If the first thing would have happened, it wouldn't have been as good as the timing of God to bring you to a better destination. That is the goodness of our Lord.
Right. Oh, is it me?
It is.
Oh. I think the interesting thing about this guy is that he was chained. And they said chains couldn't contain him. And we know that chains couldn't contain him because they tried to chain him up. And he would break all the chains. I think the interesting thing about that is that my question becomes this. Who tried to chain him? And why did they try to chain him? I think it's because they tried to chain him because he hurt himself. He would be chained, he would break the chains, and then he would spend the days and nights howling and shrieking and cutting himself with stones. And the people around him, Brian's here, yay! Which means the house is locked up, everything is good, life is great. Sometimes those people who love you try to chain you up and put boundaries around you because you hurt yourself. And the extrapolation of that is that in that you also hurt others. And the goal is, at some point, is to know that sometimes the people that put chains around there is because they don't know what else to do. I can imagine this guy's the crazy guy. He's running around naked. They can't chain him. He cuts himself. And all they know how to do is just try to chain him some more. Because they've tried everything else. They've tried all the interventions. They've tried, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, and they've tried all that stuff, and they've tried group therapy, and they've tried confrontation, and they've done all of those things. At the end of it, the only thing they know how to do is to tie him up. And he breaks all the chains. And they do it because they love him. And I think it's important for us to know in the process of life, in the process of being in community, there's going to be times when our behavior is not going to be good for us, and the people around us are going to try to put boundaries around us. They may feel like chains, and it may not feel like love, but it is about them loving us to the extent that they know how. There's no perfection in that, it's just to the extent that they know how.
Yeah, I really want you to just take a moment and think about maybe there's someone or maybe there's some people in your life that have changed you because they didn't know how else to help you. They've put very strict boundaries or walls, or you've really felt chained in by the way they love you. And I really feel today God wants you to know they're loving the best they know how. They are loving you the best they know how. They loved you the best way they knew how. It was the only thing they could do because nothing else worked. And I feel like the challenge today is to forgive them. Forgive them that their love didn't feel like love. That their chains didn't feel like help. And that in the process of being judged, if you will, in that, we took on things in our identity that aren't God's truth about us. And we get to sort that out. So take a moment and close your eyes. And I want you to think, is there anyone in my life I just haven't understood their love for me, or I haven't appreciated it, or I haven't seen the real benefit in it? And if you can think of someone, I just want you to be willing to be brave and forgive them now. Forgive them for being broken in their love. Broken people love in broken ways. And sometimes love doesn't feel like love when they don't love us the way we want to be loved. Hand that to Jesus now. He paid for it. You can even pin it to the cross. I forgive you for loving me in broken ways. And God, I invite you to restore my heart. Those areas where I've taken it up, the identity that I'm the crazy one, or I'm the naked one, or I'm the broken one. We hand that to you now. And I ask you, God, to restore each one here, each one to original design, that they would truly see their identity as you see them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. No, no.
Okay. You want me to do this? We're trying to figure this all out on the fly, by the way, just so you know. But we do have notes. I think the interesting thing is that when the herdsmen fled into the country, they see the pigs get all the demons, they run into the ocean, they die, and they spread the words, and everybody wants to go see what happened. Here's this guy, they're not actually sure who he is. The demons knew who he was, because they identified him right up in the front. Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what do you want with us, and leave us alone? And Jesus said, yeah, no, go away. What they saw was their product, their livelihood, run off the mountainside and then drowned. And they ran away and they started telling everybody, do you know what just happened? You have to come and see. We're not sure what happened, but what we know is that happened. So everybody comes, and what do they see? They see the naked crazy guy fully dressed and in his right mind. Right? And they were afraid. Here's the guy that we know. He's been crazy. He's breaking chains. He's harming himself. He doesn't have any clothes ever. And now he is fully dressed and as sane as you and I are. And they became afraid. And then they said to Jesus this, go away. Go away. You scare us. And here's the thing. Here's what I thought about. It's like when we get healed, everything changes in our lives. And the cause and effect of that changes everything else around us. And everybody around us are affected by it. That's either good news or bad news. For them, it was bad news. Because when the miracle happens, we can do one of three things, basically. We can revel in it and go, yay, look what happened. This is the greatest thing ever. These people got free. This person got healed. This is great. Yay, yay, yay. The arm grew. The eyes got seen. The cancer went away. Yay! It happens today. And if he can do it, I can do it. Yay, yay, yay. Or we can go, eh. And ignore it. And a lot of people actually do that. They see it and they go, yeah. Or we can run from it. And we run from it this way. That doesn't happen. That can't happen. That's not real. It's a figment of your imagination. Those are the three things we get to do. What they did is they said, yeah, that scares us. We don't know where to put this thing that just happened. We don't know how to qualify, quantify, or understand what I'm seeing. What we saw was the pigs were and now they weren't. What we saw was the guy was crazy and now he's not. And I don't know what to do with it and you scare me, go away. Which is what a lot of people do when Jesus shows up in power. Jesus manifests his power and people go yes or eh or yeah, I think I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go to that other church down the street that actually doesn't do those things because they're weird over there. Right? And I think it's important for us to recognize that.
Well, I think one of the hardest things when you love somebody is to understand that not everybody wants the all of God and not everybody wants to be healed. Healing cost 2,000 pigs.
Right.
In that instance, healing cost 2,000 pigs, which was somebody's livelihood. Healing always costs you something. You don't get to be healed and be broken. And sometimes being broken is the most attention you'll ever call to yourself. Oh, you should hear about my ailments. Oh, I've got the worst case of whatever. Oh, it took 4 surgeries for me. Usually it just takes 1, but 4 for me. You know, I often thought about some of the healings that Jesus did. Maybe the beggar at the road who was blind his whole life, and now he can see, and now he doesn't qualify for public assistance. And he's got no vocation. He's never been to school, because you don't educate people who are lame or blind in that period of time. It actually created quite a crisis for him. You would think, yay, he's healed. And it's like, no, no, no. The challenge just begins. It just looks different now. It looks different with his ability to see through it. And so not everybody does want the all of God, and not everybody wants to be healed. Healing is scary to some people. If I wasn't that, who would I be?
Right.
I don't know who I'd be if I wasn't that, if I don't have this, if I'm not the victim anymore, if you will. I know how to be the victim. I just don't know how to live victoriously. I don't have a skill set for that. And so often we look at the cost and we're like, that is too much work. I'm not ready for that. Maybe my family's not ready for that. And so what we know is that not everybody wants to be healed, and that's okay. And I think that's why Jesus, often when he encountered people, what was the first question?
What do you want?
What do you want? Or do you want to be healed? Because not everybody did. Not everybody today is the day they're ready for that. But what we know is every time he asks, seeds are planted and you're that much closer. And at least you begin to grab a hold of the possibility that he wants to. And in that, he begins to build faith in us. To me, it brings me to the point, based on verse 18, that when the man was in his right mind and clothed, miraculous, he wanted to be a part of what Jesus was doing. He asked to go with him. He was ready to sign up as a disciple. Take me with you. I'm on your team now. And Jesus said, no. Now, it'd be one thing if Dennis Doner said no to you. But Jesus, the master and creator of the universe, you're like, put me in your team, coach. And he's like, no. It's a bad day. And not only did he say no, he went on to say, he went on to call him back to his own community. Let's see, let's read actually verse 18. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him, but Jesus said, no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. Do you know who his family was? The people who had chained him. The people who said, you can't actually live in the town anymore. You should all hang out at the tombs. That would be a good place for you. Not here. You do too much destruction here, and it's a little disconcerting when you hurt yourself. Go hang out in the caves. Go hang out in the tombs. His family were the ones who had rejected him. His community was the one who had seen him at his worst day every day. And Jesus said, that's actually who I want you to share the testimony with. It's very difficult when you say, God, let me go do the great thing. And he's like, no, I actually want you to just stay here and learn a few things. The answer no is a very difficult answer, I think. Sometimes we ask for healing and God's maybe not yet, not in the way you think. How that works for me personally is, as you know, you're my English family, and you've been praying for me for some time. And most of you know I have physical challenges. I have heart challenges. And in the past, I've stood up and given the amazing testimony that I'm able to function off about 24% of my heart. I have about 24% heart function. And in the last 2 months, I had a couple heart episodes, and they recalculated that I currently operate at about 10 to 15% of my heart function. The doctors actually can't figure out, number one, why I wake up in the morning. And number two,
it's true.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
It's a real thing. I said, could I fly? Could I make a long flight? And he said, I don't know how you walk now. I don't know why you're doing anything. Why would I tell you there's something you can't do?
Right.
So here I am. There was real question as to whether it was even prudent to come. But I currently operate at this very, very low function, and they can't figure out what keeps getting me up in the morning. How I'm able to walk, let alone walk without oxygen. And the fact that I could take stairs ever, it's miraculous. Now, I would love the testimony that said, remember when I told you I was at 24% and what a miracle it was that I get up every day and I just keep plugging along? Well, now I'm at 100%. Yay, Jesus. I want that testimony. But at some level, Jesus said, no, not that way. Your miracle will come in a different way. Now, we still contend for that one. Trust me. Every day we wake up, it'll be like, Jesus, today's a good day for that miracle. I'm just going to keep holding out. Don't matter what the numbers say today, because I know you're going to heal me. I believe it.
Right.
I'm contending for it. But today, my miracle doesn't look like that. My miracle looks like doctors saying, I don't know why you get up in the morning. We can't figure out how you keep plugging along at 10%. And so sometimes the no of Jesus comes in, the answer doesn't look like what we thought it would look like. It doesn't come in the timeliness that we thought would be good or appropriate or encouraging. It doesn't come from the person we wanted it to come from. In fact, it comes from somebody we've completely discounted. He is good. And he does care about the concerns of your heart. And the answer is on the way. And maybe it is in the midst of a storm. But it's probably closer than you know. He is the God of miracles. He is the bread that satisfies. He is the lifter of your head and the healer of your heart, your soul, your mind, your spirit, your body. He is good in every way.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I think one thing that's very interesting about that, you're laughing?
I am.
Okay.
I listen to you all day long.
You have to, actually.
No. No. Actually, I don't.
I get to.
I get to.
Okay, so I did want to say this, though, and that is when he went back to the townships, the 10 towns around where he lived, his community, if you will, the community that he was born into and raised, it said that, let me quote it.
So when the man went away and began to tell the Decapolis, or the 10 cities, how much Jesus had done for them, for him, and he did that, and they were all amazed. All the people were amazed.
How many were amazed?
All of them.
Them having seen him at his worst, and then them seeing him clothed and in his right mind, affected everyone. Not most, not some, not a handful. Everyone was amazed. Sometimes we want to be delivered from the circumstance in which people have seen us at our worst, never to have to revisit it or think about it again. Sometimes we just want a new set of friends and a new job and a new community and a new whatever it is. But God wants your testimony where it's going to do the greatest impact. And sometimes that's exactly the same place that brought the suffering upon you. I've heard it said that when you stay in a circumstance rather than jumping out, God will use the very people who wounded you to heal you. And sometimes he'll use you to heal the very ones who have wounded you.
Right.
It's an amazing thing. He's a redeemer of all things. All were amazed. And it's amazing later on in the Bible when Paul is going out.
You can't do that.
I can.
No, you can't.
All right, Dennis will tell you.
Yeah. This is the best line in the whole thing.
Okay, it's yours.
The scripture ends there and they start another story. What's not said is this, is that sometime later, I think the thing is that what Christine was saying is that your testimony is really powerful. What you know about what God did for you and you go tell people changes people. and changes things. What we know about this is that some years later when Paul went to this area, Jesus hadn't been there. The only time he was there was when he was there with the demonic. Wasn't back, and it was an area that had not been evangelized, if you will. So when Paul goes back and he starts to tell them about Jesus, their answer is, yeah, we know about him. And Paul's, why? How did you know? Because the testimony of the naked crazy guy told us all about the things that you've done for us. That was his testimony. Let me tell you about Jesus. Well, who are you? Oh, I'm the naked crazy guy. What's your testimony? It's better than you're the naked crazy person, I hope.
Slightly.
But he, pardon?
Slightly.
Well, sometimes. Yeah, never mind. But I think it's important for us to know that Jesus is saying to us pretty much all the time, no, you don't just get to go sit in the corner. You don't get to come with me. You get to go back that place. That place where you're from, the place where you have absolute influence, whether you know you have influence or not, is the place where I want you to go. And what I want you to go is I want you to go tell them what I've done for you and the mercy that I have shown you so that they will know that there's a God in heaven and that he's a really good God. And the only way they're going to know that, oh, no, I know, life is hard. And then it'll get better. I know. But mom will take care of it and you'll be fine and you didn't dent the floor. But the testimony that you have cannot be duplicated by anybody else. And you can't be argued out of your testimony. When he went and said, I'm the naked crazy guy, let me tell you what Jesus did for me, nobody said, yeah, that didn't happen. And if they did, he's like, yeah, it did. Because I'm him. And if you're not sure, ask my family. And they're going to go, yep, that was him. And what he did was he changed his entire area, 10 cities, the Decapolis. That's the area that he was in. He went to the 10 cities and told them about who Jesus was and what Jesus had done. And they were prepared when Paul showed up for Paul to tell them more. And so the goal for us in this story, for me, is always this. Regardless of the storm, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your bondage, regardless of what people have done for you or to you, regardless of all of that, at the end of that, when you meet Jesus in that place, you have a testimony that cannot be denied. And the only way it never gets told is if you don't tell it. And he's calling us to go tell our testimony. This is what Christ has done for me. And sometimes that problem is that nobody wants to say this one. Nobody wants to say I was the naked crazy guy. Nobody wants that testimony. Nobody wants to say, this is the bondage I was in. This was the sin I was doing. And this is what Christ has done for me. And now I'm free and you can be free too. Because it's exposure of this is my humanness. This is who I have been. It is not who I am. And the testimony is it's not who I am. And when we can testify from the rooftops about what Christ has done for us, then people will know that there's a God in Israel. They'll know that Christ can actually change things. Because if he can change me, he can change you. If he'll do that for me, if he'll do it for him, then what the man is saying is if he did it for me, and nobody could help me, nobody could help me. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. And that's the point of this story. Is that regardless of what you're chained with, and regardless of what storm you're facing, and regardless of what has historically happened, regardless of what people think about you, regardless of all of that, the testimony is I met Christ, and Christ set me free. Let me tell you about it.
So good.
Yeah,
thank you,
we're
Jesus.
Done now.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. So let me pray for you.
Yeah.
So, Father, we just say yes and amen to you. We say yes and amen to the things that you have done for us, the miracles, seen or unseen, acknowledged or not, that you have done in each one of our lives.
that we actually, through meeting you, have changed lives, and we have a testimony that is unique and uniquely mine. Father, give us the courage to stand up and say, I was the naked crazy guy. Give us the courage to go back to where we come from, to our families, to our friends, to our workplaces, and stand up and testify to the great things God has done and the mercy he has shown me. With the full knowledge, if he shows me that mercy, he will show you that mercy. So we say yes and amen to that. Father, I ask you to fill them up. I ask you to pour your spirit out upon each and every one of them, that you would meet them exactly where they're met, that you would show them the storms of their lives and the places where they have abound, and the mercy that you have shown them and the healing that has taken place. And give them words for their testimony so that they can go back to where they live and share the good news of who you are and what you have done for them.
Yeah, I just had a couple things real quick I wanted to share. I just felt as I was during worship and earlier as I was praying for people that there is at least one person in here that you've just been contending for something for a long, long time, and you've grown a little bit weary in waiting for the answer. The storm's been much longer than you certainly would have wanted or hoped, and I just feel like the Lord wants to encourage you through this message that he sees you. He knows you, and that I just feel like the fulfillment, the promise is on its way. It's on its way. But it's going to happen in his perfect timing. And when you are frustrated about it, lean into him. You can even inquire of him, Lord, what do I need to know that I don't know? What do I need to do to settle my spirit in this thing? And I feel like the Lord wants to give you peace in his timing. That even though it may emotionally feel that it tarries, the timings of God never tarry. They're perfect in every way. And so I feel like the Lord is wanting to encourage. I felt like there are perhaps people here that contend for healing. They contend for healing. They believe for healing. They absolutely believe for healing. And healing hasn't happened the way they are looking for it. In other words, I'll know that it's healed when it looks like that. And I feel like the Lord is wanting to encourage you. And I feel like he wants to open your spiritual eyes to see what he's actually doing. And I know there was a time when, because I have everything started with an autoimmune disease with me. And I asked the Lord to heal me several times. And he said, I will heal you, but I must heal your heart first. Sometimes he has to heal the parts you can't see so that the outward signs can line up with the inward workings. And so I feel like God is doing massive, that's his word, massive work on the inside. And then if you were to look back 3 months, 6 months, a year, 10 years, you would see how much you've grown in him, how much you've grown as a person, how much you've grown in your faith. And God is doing work with all the underpinnings, if you will, all the unseen things, all the invisible things. And that doesn't mean just because you haven't seen the signs that you're looking for that he's not working. He is working. Lean into him. Allow him to open your eyes that he will begin to reveal to you what he has been doing, what he has been healing. He is a healer, and no prayer goes unanswered. It's impossible for us to pray and nothing to happen. When we pray, something happens, seen or unseen. Something happens in the atmosphere. We carry authority, and our words are so powerful. We were created in his image, and he created the world, the universe, everything known and unknown through the spoken word. We too carry an authority with our words. When we begin to pray, when we begin to praise, when we begin to bless, what it does is it creates an environment that fosters the miracles of God. And so the more you speak praises, the more you read the word and read it out loud and speak it into the atmosphere, the more you pray, the more you bless others, the more you create a culture around you that fosters miracles. And the Lord wants to encourage all of you. I feel like his heart is so pleased with you. I feel like so many, if not all of you, are doing that now. And I just want to encourage you and say, your Father is so pleased with you. So pleased with you. I feel like you have a high standard and you're not always pleased with you. But I feel like your Father's very pleased with you. And I would ask you to receive that as a kiss on the forehead this morning from the one who knows you best and loves you best. Amen?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere.